Hello everyone. First thing I want to say is Happy New Year. It's approaching and we know we're excited because we know God's got an excellent, most magnificent plan for our lives. And we know in the new year, we trust in Him, we believe in Him. God's only going to bring His best. Amen? So I want to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this most wonderful day. We rejoice, Lord. We know it's a privilege that we are here right now because, Lord, it's your word that gives us life. And I pray as your word is spoken, speak through me, Lord, that as your word is going to come alive, let it touch our hearts so deeply that we're not going to leave here the same person. We're going to be more like your son, Jesus Christ, because we know your word transforms. Your word gives us all we need to live life abundantly, successfully. So, Lord, have your way in this time. We give it all to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But today, the title of my sermon is Avoiding All the Wrong Paths in the New Year. Avoiding all the wrong paths in the New Year. You know, first of all, I'm going to read from Proverbs 7 and 8, and I'm going to start off with Proverbs 7, and I'll read Proverbs 8 later. But I want you to listen carefully to Solomon's observations of what can happen when we make wrong choices in our lives. Has anyone ever made wrong choices? I mean, made the kind of choices that, oh man, oh, never? Oh, brother, I tell you, I guess you're in a league of your own, you know. But we all make mistakes, right? And some mistakes are so big, guess what? We have regrets, don't we? And we realize, you know, with these mistakes, we got to give it to God. But Solomon points out the very fact there are times, right, that we can just walk right into our mistakes. And sometimes, you know, we didn't even know what would come after that. But sometimes it's so big that we're kind of thrown for a loop. Listen to what he says. Proverbs 7, it's in your notes. It says, at the window of my house, Solomon says, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of the night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him with a brazen face and said, today I fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. Yes, this is in the Bible. Says, my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Ooh, yes, it is. And you guys can agree with me, right? Many people made bad choices in their lives. And I'm sure you made some pretty bad choices like I have also. Because, you know, some people, they don't have any goals in their lives and they end up in painful relationships or situations because they didn't plan to get anywhere in their lives. They didn't set goals. They didn't make plans for their lives. I got to tell you, I look back in my early adult life, you know, and I realized that I made some pretty unwise choices. And I got to tell you, it caused me to live with regret for a certain period of time until I had to surrender it to God. But don't we all make bad choices? I got to tell you, you know, on one New Year's Day in 1929, Georgia Tech played UC Berkeley in the Rose Bowl. And if you guys know what the Rose Bowl is, a football game, right? The two of the best teams in the nation go against each other. And in that game, a young man, his name is Roy Regals, he recovered a fumble from his team because one of his teammates dropped the ball, but he picked it up. And he picked up a loose ball and he ran 65 yards towards the goal. Unfortunately, he got confused though. It was the wrong goal line. And one of his teammates, his name is Benny Long. Guess what? He ran him down and tackled him just before he scored for the opposing team. Can you imagine the embarrassment? That embarrassment he felt at that moment. Regals, I mean, he hanged his head low. And you know, from that day on, Roy Regal was branded Wrong Way Regals. It's kind of funny. Did you know there's even a children's book that is entitled The Man Who Ran the Wrong Way? Wow. And you know, there are many people who live their lives that way. They go the wrong way. And probably because they lost sight of or never had a goal. And we realize it's important, especially this new year, we gotta start setting goals, because if you kind of look back this year and you kind of wonder, what did I achieve? Anything good happened in my life this past year? Ask yourself that question, because if you can say, I don't know, maybe you can't think of one thing, maybe you better start setting some goals. And you go to the Holy Spirit, you ask Him, what shall I accomplish in this coming new year? You know, Pastor Andy Stanley, he once noted, he says, many people are what you might call directionally challenged. They don't know where they're going. They don't have a goal. They just wander through life and hope that everything will just turn out all right. Oh, just, you know, close your eyes and cross your fingers and go, okay, we'll see what happens. And some people do that. But you can't go through life doing that. You know, President Harry S. Truman, he was quoted in saying, he says, men who live in the past remind me of a toy I'm sure you all have seen, he says. The toy is a small wooden bird called the flugie. Everyone heard of that? The flugie bird? Around the flugie bird's neck is a label reading, I fly backwards. I don't care where I'm going. So you throw it, it's just the tail is going like this. And he says, I just want to see where I've been. And some people, that's what they do. They don't go forward. They keep going backwards, and sometimes they just go in a circle. They end up nowhere in life because they have not set any goals. And that's the kind of picture we get here in the book of Proverbs. Solomon is sitting on his porch watching a young man wandering down the street. Verses 7 and 8, it says, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked what? Judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. The picture we see is of a boy that is just walking along. The boy doesn't seem to care where he's going. He has no specific direction. He's just wandering along aimlessly on the road during twilight. And twilight means it's starting to get dark. And he seems to be just killing time, you know, walking around, killing time. He's out taking the sights of the city because he's got nothing better to do. And we realize a lot of times these younger generation, they don't have any goals. They don't have any sight to what the future holds for them because they don't know what to do. But he's apparently in the wrong part of the town at the wrong time of the day, and he meets up with the wrong kind of woman. She comes out to meet him, the Bible tells us. She's a good-looking woman, and she's interested in him. She makes him feel good about himself. And since this young man has nothing better to do, right, with his time, he goes home with her and spends time with her with an adulterous woman. Proverbs 7, 22-23 tells us, all at once he followed her like what? An ox going to the slaughter. Oh, can you imagine that? Like a deer stepping into a noose. Right? The arrow pierces his liver like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Sometimes we think, oh, just want to have a little fun, that's all. Well, your little fun can cause a big mess in your life. And I hear it too often. I hear people tell me, especially at the park, people come and tell me their stories and say, "Pastor, I made so many mistakes in my life. I never imagined I end up like how I am today." And all because they made one, they thought it was just one little itty bitty thing that won't harm anyone, won't harm themselves, and guess what? It was a big mistake. In other words, what he's telling us, he will live to seriously regret his decision. But how did he end up in such a dangerous arrangement? Well, because, what does Solomon tell us? Because he lacked what? Judgment. And the question is, where do we get the kind of judgment that will keep us on the right track? What do you think? The Word of God, isn't it? You know, sometime back, a few of the Indiana Pacers, you know, their basketball team, right? They got into trouble at a bar in Indianapolis. And what happened was they were at the 8-second saloon. I mean, what are you doing at a bar called 8-second saloon? You know what? You know why they call it 8-second saloon, right? Probably takes that much time to take down a beer, right? A can of beer or a bottle of beer, right? And they were at this bar called 8-second saloon in downtown Indiana at 2:15 in the morning when a fight broke out. And some people said the Pacers, they're right in the middle of it all. But the Pacers, the team, right, they said they had nothing to do with it. But you know, one commentator, he noted, this is what he says. He says, "Nothing good can ever come out of being at a bar at that time in the morning." He says, if these guys wanted to avoid getting into trouble, they should have been at home in bed. But like the foolish young man in Proverbs 7, they were at the wrong place at the wrong time with what? The wrong kind of people. Sometimes, when we do find ourselves in a heap of mess, right, we're on that path. We know it's going to lead us into greater and greater problems and greater troubles. But sometimes you just say, okay, I'm just going to keep going along. Nothing's going to happen to me. And when we see that it's already piling up the messes, right, we still in our mind, we think, oh, don't worry, I can get out of this. It's no big deal, you know. But in reality, it's a lot bigger than you think. The mess is a lot messier, a lot bigger than you think it is. And I got to tell you, listen to this. A man on a flight across America in 1976, he rose from his seat. You know what he did? He drew a gun. This is 1976, okay? So I don't know how he got the gun on the plane, but he did, right? This is a true story. And he took the stewardess hostage. And you know what he said to the stewardess? "Take me to Detroit," he said. And the stewardess says, "We're already going to Detroit." And he sat down, he said, "Oh, good." And he fell asleep. Let me ask you, what do you think happened to him? Not being he's off the hook? Because he didn't do anything bad after that, right? But the thing is, we realize, hey, man, he just stuck a gun in the stewardess. So as soon as they landed, guess what? The authorities came and arrested him and took him to jail, right? You realize, because some people say, oh, no, I'm on this path of, I know destruction, but I didn't do really anything wrong. I'm okay. Don't worry. But guess what? You realize, even on that path of destruction, you can get into big trouble, can't you? And we realize, if you know you're on that path, get off of there. You know, God is calling you out, saying, come on, don't go to that path that where you're going to really experience great hardship. You're going to experience great suffering if you don't get off this path right now. And you realize this guy, he probably just fell asleep thinking, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to Detroit. But you know what? Once you make that bad decision, hey, you're stuck. And now you're going to have to suffer the consequences. You know, in November 1975, there were 75 convicts that started digging a secret tunnel designed to bring them up on the other side of the wall of Santillo Prison in northern Mexico. Get this now. About 8 months later, on April 18, 1976, because after all that digging, right? I don't know how they did. They just dug and dug and dug. And guided by pure genius, and I'm being sarcastic now, okay? They tunneled up to the nearby courtroom in which many of them had been sentenced. Imagine when they popped their head up like that. Guess who they saw? All the judges looking at them. What are you guys doing? And the surprise judges returned all 75 of these inmates back to jail. And guess what? With extended sentences. Because they just tried to break out. Imagine, they said, oh, but we didn't really break out. We're still inside the building. No. Man, you made a big mistake. No matter what, you're going to pay the consequences. And we realize we got to make the right choices, don't we? Because if we don't, we're going to end up in deep kimchi. And it burns, right? Right? Kimchi burns, right? So we don't want to be in there. And you know, Proverbs 7 is a lesson that Solomon is sharing with his sons. He's telling them a story because he wants to drive home the very point that you got to be careful of what you're doing. Because what lesson did Solomon have in mind? Why did he tell about a foolish boy wandering down the street and being distracted by a harlot? Well, he told this story because he wanted his sons to understand the value of knowing where they're going. We got to know where we're going in life. Because if you don't, you better start asking the Lord. Because the Lord, He will show you. He doesn't want you to wander aimlessly. He wants you to have direction. He wants you to have purpose in life. Amen? Solomon, he paints the picture of a foolish boy being seduced by a loose woman. And the reason he is so easily swayed into her bedroom is because this fellow doesn't seem to care where he's at or who he's with. You know, then in Proverbs 8, Solomon, he contrasts that, this very story of some place that we should want to be and someone that we should want to be with. I want you to look in your notes. Look at Proverbs 8. It tells us, Proverbs 8, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries out, to you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. Wisdom is crying out to us, saying, do the right thing. Who do you think this voice is? It's God, isn't it? It's calling out to us, saying, make the right choices. It says, verse 5, you who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. You know, the foolish man wanders along in places he doesn't belong, in places he shouldn't be, because he has no specific direction. So he just keeps on walking, and he walks into these places that lead to more trouble. And we realize that he has no specific objective in life. He's just wandering aimlessly. By contrast, though, the wise man who listens to God, listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit, has a specific destination. He doesn't stumble into a harlot's bedroom because he's pursuing a different kind of woman. He's pursuing a woman that truly knows God and loves God. He doesn't stumble into things that will lead to greater and greater destruction. He has a destination. He has a direction he wants to go. You know, Pastor Andy Stanley calls this the path principle. He says that we know that in driving, right, the direction you are going determines the destination that you arrive at. That makes sense, doesn't it? Let's just say I'm in some Midwestern town, right? Let's just say Nebraska, because I went to school in Omaha, Nebraska. It's not a very pleasant place to be, but especially this time of the year, it's super cold. But anyway, let's say I wanted to drive my car, you know, in Omaha, Nebraska, to a state on the west coast, let's say like California. But instead of driving west, right, I drive east towards some eastern state like Maine or Massachusetts. Will I ever get to my destination of California?
Of course not,
right? I mean, eventually I'm going to hit water and, you know, I'm not going to get there. Come on now. And I'm not going to get there where I want to go as long as I'm going in the wrong direction. And the direction that we're going will determine the destination we arrive at. Now, if that's true, right? When I drive my car or take a hike or ride my bike, it's certainly true of how I live my life. If I want to get somewhere in my life, I had better have a direction in mind. Right? We got to make sure we're going on the right direction. And it sounds pretty simple, but you know what? I hear so many times people tell me, say, Pastor, I want to go on the right track now because I made a mess and I want to make sure I'm staying on the right track. But you realize, you know, they're still doing the same thing. They're still going the wrong direction. They say they want to go in the right direction, but they're not. They're only thinking that they're starting to make changes, but you know what? They're not letting go of the things that are really hurting their lives. They're really bringing forth destruction in their lives. So the first question we must ask ourselves, where should we want to go then? Where should we want to go? You know, Yogi Berra, he once said, you got to be careful. If you don't know where you're going, because you might not just get there. You're going to end up nowhere. And too many people don't know where they're going. You're just like that foolish man in Proverbs 7. They have no specific destination for their lives. And so one day, they'll end up someplace that they're going to regret. But that's what can happen. Even though you didn't want to go to this place, if you don't have a goal, you keep on wandering aimlessly, you're going to step into something that's going to cause you a lot of grief, a lot of pain. You know what I'm trying to say here? And Solomon says, don't do that. Don't live your life aimlessly, Solomon says. Have a destination. Know where you're going. And do whatever it takes to get there. As long as you know God is leading, you're not going to go into a path that will lead to greater destruction. He won't allow it. He's going to lead you to a place where it's going to be full of God's blessings. Amen? You know, financial expert Gary Edwards, he talks about the importance of planning in his financial seminar. And he says, too often, people don't make financial plans for their families. They don't plan for their future. They just wander along in life and end up in serious debt. Because they keep on thinking, okay, we can just keep on spending money and hopefully our money is not going to run out. You know, and they keep on spending and spending, right? And so a major portion of his seminar deals with making a plan and focusing on a financial destination for your family. You know, as you may have heard in my previous sermons, right? I gotta tell you, I always had and always will have a great deal of respect for my dad. And, you know, when he was alive, he was always a breadwinner. He always provided, always protected his family. And, you know, when he passed away, he made sure, he made absolutely sure my mom would be financially secure for the rest of her life. And she is. My dad, he made all these plans. He made sure of it. And everything was paid in full. You know, the house, the funeral arrangements, and the burial plot, all taken care of. When he passed away, he said to me, you know, he said to me before that, he said, Dad, these are all the files here. You know, if I do pass away one day, make sure you go through these files. You gotta understand, you know, he passed away when he was 77 years old. He started making these plans when he was in his 40s. And you gotta respect someone like that who's not so much, he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about his family. He's thinking about his loved ones. But you know, Solomon is concerned with something much more meaningful than his family's finances. Because here's the thing I want you to understand. You can be financially sound, but still not have a real destination for your life. Because financially secure people still need a destination that really will make a difference for their lives. And they need that kind of direction and guidance for their lives to avoid wandering into harmful lifestyles. And Solomon, he speaks about this kind of wisdom that can be attained only from who? From God. From wisdom that comes from God. You know, you guys heard of Steve Jobs, right? He passed away not that long ago. He's the founder of Apple Computer, Steve Jobs, right? And this is his statement. He says, being the richest man in the cemetery doesn't matter to me. That's what he says. Having done something wonderful, that's what matters to me. That's his statement. And he realized, you know, Jobs recognized that riches won't save you. But you know what? Doing and creating wonderful things won't save you either. something wonderful was done for Steve Jobs. He probably didn't even know it, right? Not by him. Guess who did that wonderful thing for all of us? Jesus. He came on this planet Earth. He made that decision. He was in the will of the Father. He was willing to suffer and die for us on the cross so that we can be forever with God. And that's all that should really matter to anyone. The very fact that you know God, that you're following His ways, you're following the laws of God, you're following in the footsteps of Christ. That's all that really matters, doesn't it? Look what it says in Ephesians 2:8. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And we realize, just like the song we sang, "Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. I need you." And we all need God to save us from destruction, whether it be in this life or in the next life with our Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. We need Jesus. Forever and ever, from this point on, forever, we know that we need Jesus. So here's the question. So what kind of destination should you choose then? Well, the question is, where do you want to go? Well, the fact that you're here is a good thing, right? You're here in church. That means you want to go where God wants you to be. You think God wants you to be here right now? Yeah, because our hearts are set upon Him. We're listening to the Word of God so that the Word of God can give us direction in life, give us guidance that we need to live a life that is true, that is pleasing to Him. And you know what? God has good news for you. He knows the direction that you should take in your life. Did you know that? He knows it, but it's up to you. Are you going to take it? Look what it says here in Ephesians 2:10. It says here, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So who created us? God did. We are His workmanship, and we are created to do good works. Not bad works, not terrible work. No, to do good things unto Him. And realizing that you are His workmanship, you are created in Christ Jesus to do great and mighty works, which already has been prepared for you. God has already planned out the direction in your life that you should take. He planned it out. But He doesn't force it upon you. You still got to choose. You still got to say, "Lord, I'm going to walk according to your path, according to your ways." You still have to make that decision. And His plans for your life is tailored to your needs and your desires. You know, it's just like a parent, you know, planning out the Christmas or birthday presents for their child. Just think about, you know, Christmas just passed. And, you know, my son, he kind of said, "Dad, I really want a new phone. My phone doesn't work so well." And he's been telling me this for like how many months. And his phone is like 3 or 4 years old, right? What's that? Years, right? It's been years, right? Actually, years he's been telling me he needs. But we say, "Oh, don't worry, you know, I got the same phone as you. Come on, I'm not going to change my phone. Look, come on, I don't need a new phone." But he said, "Yeah, Dad, I really want, you know." And so anyway, me and Johnny, we kind of did research, and we wanted to pick out the very best phone because we love him, right? And we want nothing but the best for him. Even my daughter, right? She likes all these cute, cuddly kind of toy animals. And so we kind of did research, and we wanted nothing but the best for her. And we picked out the ones that we knew that would make her happy. Why do we do this as parents? Because we love them, don't we? And you got to realize, in the same way, God has planned out good things for your life. He's our Abba Father. He's our Daddy God. And He takes the time. Like for me and Johnny, we did the research and we went on the internet. We want to pick out the very best for them because we love them. And God has planned out a direction that He knows that you will appreciate, that you will enjoy, and that you really need. That's what He does. Because that's why He's our Father God. More than that, He's our Daddy God. Praise God. And thus, if you want the best destination for your life, you know, you should build on that destination around God. Not upon your own desires, not upon your own interests or whatever it is. You got to build your destination around God. So here's the question. So how do I build the destination for my life around God? You know, well, we're going to go back to Proverbs 7, and Solomon talks about relationships, right? And number one here, it says, by having the right, right in that blank, right relationships in our lives. And you know, Solomon, he tells about this young man who wanders down by the home of an adulterous woman. And this boy establishes a relationship with this loose woman. Why? Because she likes him, right? She compliments him. She wants to do things for him. She makes him feel like a man. She's attracted to him. It seems to him as if he has been destined to enjoy her company and receive her blessings. And if you ask him, you know what? This young man might even say that, you know what? God wants me to be in this relationship with her. After all, right? She's just returned from fulfilling her vows, and she had fellowship offerings at her home. Guess what? She has Bible study. Right? And that's the thing we got to understand. You know, she seems to be a very religious person. And you got to, she's probably thinking, how could God not want me to spend time with her? And a lot of times we realize, you know, I hear this. People say, yeah, Pastor, this person, I think God picked her up from me. Yeah, I'm going to marry her in just maybe a few months. And you know, I just only known her for a few days. And I go, man, why do you think that this woman is for you? And he said, well, because God picked her up for me. I said, why? Why do you think that? Well, first of all, she thinks I'm a godly person. She says I'm a godly man. And she likes godly men. So what about her? Do you know she's a godly woman? I think so. I think she goes to church every now and then. Oh man, think this through. It's not so much if the person is a Christian or not. Does this person truly love God? Do they follow the ways of God? That's all that really matters. Anyone can call themselves a Christian, but are they following the ways of God? Are they walking in the footsteps of Christ? Are they doing what the Lord calls them to do? That's what makes you a true follower of Christ. Are you doing as the Word tells us to do? Because, you know, after all, you know, she's fulfilling her vows and she has fellowship offerings at home. She's a very religious person. And, you know, that's what adulterous people often say. They felt like their love for each other was ordained or fated by God. And sometimes I hear that, you know, people at the park tell me, and say, I know I'm in an adulterous situation, but God wants me to be in it. I said, no, that's a lie. Don't believe that. Because it's more, the very fact you're in this relationship because of lust or selfishness. The very fact, if they say that they're a Christian, if they actually went to God about this, do you think God said, yeah, it's okay. I'll let this slide. No, we got to realize when we get into a situation where we take a hold of these lies, we're just hurting ourselves. And we're willing to hurt others too. And you know what? If you checked it with God, you know God would say, no, make it right. Amen? Because if you're walking on the path that God wants you to be on, you're going to only choose what is right in the eyes of God. You're not going to be misled. You're not going to take a hold of those lies that we know who's behind it. Who's behind it? Satan. We got to reject it and say, no, I'm only going to walk in the ways of the Lord. I want you to look what it says here in Proverbs 1, 10 to 11. It says here, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. And we realize that's what sinners do. You know, sinners, I'm talking about people who don't know God. People who are of the world, right? We're not to say we're better than all. No. The very fact we choose the ways of God. The ones that don't know the Word, don't know God, they're going to do whatever they want. If they feel good about it, if they are pleased about it, guess what? They're going to do it. And that's why Solomon says to his sons, you know, don't let the sinners entice you. You must run. You must go away from them if they're, you know, wanting you to join them in what they're doing. Proverbs 24, 1 to 2, it says, don't envy evil people or desire their company, for their hearts plot what? Violence and their words always stir up trouble. And we realize, you know, when we desire the company of people who are of the world, right, to basically do what pleases them according to their flesh, we realize we're going to possibly stumble along the way. So it's very important, the message Solomon is trying to tell us, especially in this new year. If you know there are friends, not saying to give them up or reject them or push them away. No, don't do the same things they're doing. Because if you're in a situation right now, you have friends like that, and they're causing you to stumble, really, it's time to really make a choice that, you know what, you're going to be there to them, to minister to them, to pray for them, but you're not going to be hanging out with them and doing the same things they're doing. Because, you know, the Bible says we are set apart for God. Amen? We got to choose to stay in line with what God wants us to do. We're going to look again at Proverbs 8, 1-6. I'm going to read that to you once again. It says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. At the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. And you know what Solomon is telling us? God's wisdom is like a woman in the street. Isn't that cool? Wisdom is like a woman out in the street. She's shouting and waving her arms. Here I am! Yoo-hoo! Just like that. I know it's silly, right? But, you know, think about that. Because some people say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I really messed up my life. And say, God, he's speaking to you. I don't hear the voice of God, though. Well, God's wisdom is calling out to us. I mean, you can't miss her. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Because the Bible says she's easy to find. The very fact that sometimes you say you don't hear the voice of God is because you don't want to listen to the voice of God. You rather listen to what your own voice tells you. But it tells us God's wisdom is easy to find. If you bother to look for it, you will find it. It's right there in front of you. And we realize sometimes, even for me, I know sometimes God wants me to do something, but I go, I don't know. Maybe this other way is better because it's a shortcut. I'll get there faster. But guess what? I end up in a big mess. And I realize I gotta just listen to God, right? Because when we look to God, we're going to ask for insights from him into our lives. And we're going to gain the wisdom that will be necessary to plan our life properly. You know, Rick Warren wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says, I once got lost in the mountains. And when I stopped to ask directions to the campsite, I was told, you can't get there from here. You must start from the other side of the mountain. And sometimes that's true, right? The only way to get to where you want, you got to stay on the right path. Sometimes you go, I'm going to take a shortcut. I'm going to try to go over here. I'm going to try to go over there. But the only way to get to where you want, there's only a bridge or a road that will lead to where you want to go. And sometimes what God wants us to do is follow his paths that will get us there. But if we're trying to look for shortcuts, right, we're trying to do it our own way, guess what? We're going to end up somewhere. Yeah. We're not going to want to be. And we got to realize we cannot arrive to our life's purpose by starting to focus on ourselves. Because imagine, you got so far, but you realize you got really nowhere. Now you got to start all over because you didn't want to do it God's way. And we got to realize, we got to begin with God, our Creator. He made us. He knows us. He wants nothing but the very best for us. And you got to think in your mind, you got to remember this. You exist only because God wills you to exist. You were made by God for God. That's what the Bible tells us. And until you understand that, you know what? Life will never make sense. You were made by God. For Him. For His purposes. And if you follow His plan, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed beyond measure, let me tell you. Because it is only in God that we discover who our true identity is. We discover our origin. We discover our meaning. We discover our purpose when we stay in line with the plan of God. And we got to realize every other path will only lead to a dead end. In other words, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to stay on track with God. You got to be patient. You got to wait upon the Lord. Number three here, it says we must be willing to give up things in our lives, give up, right in that blank, give up things in our lives that may cause us or others to stumble. You know, as Christians, we know God has a destiny for us. Amen? And you know, as we know that, we set our hearts upon that destination. If we forward in that direction and we kind of ignore everything else, right, that gets in the way, that we kind of push it aside. No, I ain't having that. No, that's not of God. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to obtain the very best that God has to offer in our life. It's going to happen. But you must choose only the ways of God. And you will know, if you're in the Word, you're going to know what is of God and what's not of God. And as you push all these things away, guess what? You're only going to see God's best in your life. And that's what Paul believed. Look what it says here in Philippians 3:13. It says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Apostle Paul says, I'm pressing on. I'm going. In other words, think about this. When he's pressing on, is there all the obstacles in his way? Yes, because he's pressing, right? If you're pressing against something, that means there is something that is resisting you. Right? Things of the world, things of the flesh, things of the devil. And Paul says, I'm pressing on. I'm going through. I'm not letting this thing get in my way. We must go through life like this. We must keep pressing on, pressing forward with God. We're not going to let the things of the world stop us from receiving the goodness that God has to offer. And as we do that, guess what? God's best will come forth. Because Paul, he was convinced that nothing else in this life compared with what God had in store for his life. So he left everything else. You know, he left everything else behind and he strained towards God's destiny for his life. We got to make choices. There's some things we just got to say no more. You know it's for God. You say, you know what? I got to push it away. You know, I got to tell you, when I was in my mid-20s, I was attending a church in Kailua, and I was one of the deacons, one of the leaders of the church. And, you know, I was also teaching Sunday school, and I was pretty active in this church. And at the time, I got to tell you, I was addicted to smoking cigarettes. Yes, I was smoking 2 packs a day. I got to tell you, I don't know what I was thinking, but I remember my pastor, I talked to him about it, and you know what he said to me? Ben, I want to tell you, smoking cigarettes is not a sin. But you're probably going to meet Jesus face to face a lot sooner. And I think he still has a lot more in store for you right now. And he says, another thing, Ben, we're probably going to miss you. So, okay, I'm glad he told me like it is, right? But here's the thing. One day, I went to my Sunday school class, right? And they're like, you know, third, fourth, fifth graders, right? And this little girl came up to me, and they called me Mr. Ben, right? You know what she asked me? Tell them, Mr. Ben, I just want to know, why are your teeth so yellow and why do you smell like smoke? Well, you know, and I had to tell her the truth. I said, I smoke cigarettes. And, you know, and I was so embarrassed, I tell you. And I have to tell you, I felt so ashamed. I felt like I wasn't being a good example to her. I remember I said, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to quit. Just for this reason, you know? Because I'm not being a good example. And after I told her the truth, she kind of go, and you know, I realized, imagine, she going home telling her mom, you know, Mr. Ben smokes cigarettes. Can I try it? And I said, that's it. And you know, after a lot of prayer, and at that time, a Nicoderm patch came out. I used that also, but I believe it was the power of God. It was the power of prayer, because a lot of people, I told them, pray for me. I'm going to quit cigarettes. And within like several weeks, I quit. And you got to understand, when you have such a destination that's set in your mind, I'm doing it all for God, you naturally will start pruning away every relationship, every activity that hinders your commitment to that goal. Because I said, I'm doing it for you, Lord, because I want to represent you well. See the difference? When you say, I'm going to do it for you, Lord, because you don't want to cause someone else to stumble. I don't want to cause this little 9-year-old girl to stumble. Because I'm a leader in the church. And I made a decision, and God saw me through it. Amen? You got to make those kind of decisions. If you're struggling, you're making resolutions every year, and it seems to only last like 2 weeks. Maybe 2 days. Who knows, right? Maybe 2 hours. I'm going to lose weight, but, you know, But it never lasts, right? Yeah. What? 2016. Yeah, that's right. And we realize we gotta be serious. If you said we're gonna do it for God, right? Imagine you gotta make sure you hold up this promise, you know. So here's the thing. The last thing I want to discuss and mention today is this question I get a lot, because people ask me, so Pastor, what if I made a lot of bad decisions already? What if I haven't included God in my plans, you know, right now? What if I messed up things so badly that there doesn't seem to be any way of fixing them? Well, you know what? Let's look at this verse in Isaiah 44, 21 to 23. It's in your notes. It says, I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done this wondrous thing. Shout for joy, O depths of the earth. Break into song, O mountains and forests and every tree. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and is glorified in Israel. And God says, I never will forget you. No matter what you've done in your past, if you come with a repentant heart, you come with a heart that says, Lord, I want to start over again, Lord. God says, let me take your hand. I'll lead the way. So you got to realize God is the God of beginning again. He's the God of do-overs. He takes our failures and our faults and he removes them and replaces them with a clean slate. Then you know what God does with this clean slate? He builds our destiny into our life. Our true destiny. The destiny that he wants for us. Not for what we want, but what he wants. It must come to that point of surrender. When that slate is clean, when you repented, when you said, Lord, not my way, but your way. Guess what? God takes over. And you guys remember I mentioned Roy Vigo's in the beginning? You have to realize, though, did he fail his team? Yeah, he did, right? He scored. But he didn't do it on purpose, but he scored for the opposing team. And you know, they went into the locker room with an 8-point deficit. It was 0-8. They had 0, another team had 8. And you know, Coach Price, right, the coach of the team, he looked at the team and says, men, the same team that played in the first half will start the second. And you know, players, they got up and started all off, right? All but Rigo. He didn't budge. The coach looked back and called to him, Rigo, get out there. But Rigo, he didn't move. And Coach Price, he went over to where Rigo sat and said, Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team that played the first half will start the second. And Roy Rigo, he looked up and his cheeks were wet with tears. He said, Coach, I can't do it. I ruined myself. I can't face that crowd out there. And Coach Price, he reached out, he put his hand on Regal's shoulder and said, Roy, get up and go on back because the game is only half over. And you know, I have to tell you, the final score of the game was 7-8. They lost, but you know what? They went out there and they gave their very best. Regal gave his very best. And you know, there's a saying, right? It's not how you play the game, it's how the game plays you. Think about that for a second. Because at the end, whether you win or lose, right? will you still be able to keep your head up high? Will you say, you know what? I'm going to keep on going forward. Especially if you know God, you're going to say, Lord, I'm keeping on that path that you want me to be on. Because, you know, you may have made some mistakes, but let me ask you, who had made mistakes in their lives before? We all have, haven't we? Doesn't matter what kind of mistake you made, we all make mistakes. It's how you play the game with the Lord, knowing that He will be the one that will keep you going forward. Because you don't let the game play you, right? Because you realize that your mind, your heart belongs to Christ. And as you say, Lord, I'm going to keep on going with you. God will keep you strong. He will get you to where you want to go. But if you know that God is on your side, just like that coach, you know, God may be telling you, get back in that game. Because I know He's spoken to me like that. A lot of times I just give up, Lord. And the Lord says, then get up. I'm strengthening you. I'm giving you all you need. Now get up and go. And a lot of times people say, what if I played a terrible half? It seems like half of my life is just so terrible. It's so messed up. But so what? God says, it's only halfway. Get back in the game, and I'll show you the way. And you know, we can go through life asking, what if I did this? What if I did that? Well, make it a point this year. What if I did it God's way? I want to show you this video that really points out to the very fact that, you know, we make choices in life. Are you going to make the right decision? Benson, can you go ahead and play that video?
Our life is a story. It has a beginning and an end. Each of its volumes are filled with tales of great victory and disappointing failure. But one thing is certain. Those moments shape who we are in the present, and they affect our decisions for the future. Many times what stands out from those moments are the failures. Time reveals our numerous unkept resolutions and promises. We resolve to lose those extra pounds, quit that addiction, or become more devout in our faith. But these resolutions often prove difficult to achieve. Perhaps the key to overcoming our struggles lies not in the resolution, but in the motives which drive us. We cannot achieve anything without Christ's guiding hand. His word tells us, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. Our success does not come from just one decision to change. It comes from a daily decision to walk with Him. What if today we made a resolution that mattered? What if we resolved to invest more time into our families? To love our neighbor as ourselves? To right our wrongs? To pray not at God, but to God? To give without expectation of receiving? What if we made a resolution to become more like Christ? And today, let us make a resolution to struggle for God's glory and not our own. Even though the future is still unwritten, our story has only just begun.
Praise God. And you realize, you know, we got to make it a goal this year. You know, I remember yesterday when I walked to the place where we usually set up our tents and everything at the park, someone just came up to me and said, Pastor, I want to set some goals. And this is before the sermon, you got to understand. And he says, I want to make a resolution. You got any suggestions? That's what he told me. Just right there and then, just the top of my head. I said, you know what? Make it a point, brother. Draw closer to God. And if you draw closer to God, you know what? Every heart's desire that you have will come forth. You're going to see God is going to take you to places that you never imagined that you would go. I said, if you draw close to God and you become more like Christ, man, you got all you need in life. It's so funny. He asked me this before, even before I preached the sermon. And you realize it's the Holy Spirit speaking to all of us. Are you going to do it God's way this year? Or are we going to set upon doing it our own way? Yes. Yeah. Frank Sinatra wanted to do it his way, right? And we got to stop singing that song, right? Pardon our own lives. We're going to say, your way, Lord. Yahweh. Your way. And as we do it his way, guess what? God's blessings will come forth. And you realize, you know, you may have done some, you know, pretty bad things in the past. You know, it's okay. You got to forgive yourself. Because God forgives you. He's forgiven you already of your past sins. If you have laid it at his feet, at his throne of mercy and grace, it's forgotten. Amen? And we realize we got to pick ourselves up and say, Lord, give me strength. Look at the last verse there. Proverbs 24:16. It says, the godly may trip 7 times, but they will what? They get up again, right? But look what it says in the next verse. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked, right? And let me ask you, what makes a godly person godly? He loves God. He knows God, right? And if you really know God, you're really doing the things of God. You know what? You're going to trip along the way. Who knows, right? This year you may say, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to keep strong. But guess what? You're still, may have times, you're going to trip up. Boom! You know what? Sometimes the fall can be pretty hard. We can knock ourselves for a loop, and it may hurt. But if you have God in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, you're going to get up and say, Lord, give me strength. God will give you strength. And you're going to keep on going. Amen? A person who knows God and loves God will not stay down. You know, Roy Wiggles, he chose to say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I want to stay down. But the coach said, get up. Get back in the game. And God may be saying, get back in that game because I have great and wonderful things in store for your life. We got to get out. Because look what it says there. One disaster, right? For the person who doesn't know God, guess what? One disaster. You hear about people say, you know what? This is too much for me. Because they don't have God in their life. They say, you know what? The only option is just to take my life. And I hear it. You know, in the part two, people say, I have no reason to live. But if you know God is in your life, you have great reason to live. Because God has a plan. He has a purpose in your life. The question is, are we going to follow in his footsteps? Benson, I'm going to show you this one last video. I want Benson to go and play it. It's a song. It's entitled, I Will Follow You. Benson, can you go and play that?
Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. In you there's joy unending, sure. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending, sure.
Within yourself, saying, you know what? There's no fun. You know, look at the world is doing. Why don't you do the same? But when you're walking in the footsteps of God, there may be times that you know you're going to be doing things maybe in your own mind you may not want to do. But you got to look within your soul. Amen? You got to look within your spirit and say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. That's where you will find God. Deep in your heart, deep in your soul. And as you do it God's way, if you may have said, I didn't have a great year this year, but guess what? God says, I'm picking you up, child. I'm dusting you off because I got an most excellent plan for your life. And if you take my hand and walk with me, child, I'll get you there. Are you ready? Are you willing? We must be willing to walk in the footsteps of our Father. And if you do, come the end time of this year, I believe you're going to have a testimony. You're going to say, look what God did for me. It's been a great year. Because I did it His way. God's way. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before Father God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, I know it's spoken to my heart. I know this message is also for me. Because, Lord, a lot of times we do stray. We do go on the wrong path. I pray that this year, Father, that for all of us here, including myself, we'll stay on track. We will not go on paths that will lead to destruction. We're going to stay on the paths that will bring forth your blessings, that will bring forth your holy presence. Father, forgive us, Lord. If there were times in this year that we went off track, that we did things just to satisfy our own flesh. Father, we're going to choose to live a life that is true to you. We're going to live for you, Father. We're going to do it your way. And I know, Father, you're going to bring forth your very best in everyone's life, right here, right now, Lord, as we surrender to you. I pray, Father, you're going to let your presence just grow so strong in our lives. And we know, Father, you will never let us go because you care for us so much. And right now, Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. and you're realizing from what you heard from the Word of God that, you know what, maybe you didn't come to a full point or total point of surrender to God. This past year, you kind of did things your way. Maybe you kind of think, maybe that's why things didn't really work out for you. But you're saying, Lord, not this new year that's coming. I'm going to make sure I'm going to do it your way. Not things that will only please myself. I'm going to do things that will please you and that will help others around me. I'm not going to be that selfish person anymore. I'm going to live for you. And truly, if this is the cry of your heart, know that God, He sees you right now, right where you're at. And if you're willing to say, Lord, I surrender all to you. That's the cry of your heart. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Can you raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Everyone else. Lord, I'm going to live for you. No other way but the way of God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, can you put your hands down? Praise God. Why don't we pray? Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I choose to do it your way because it seems like every time I try to do it my way, I end up struggling. I end up struggling with you. I struggle with myself. I struggle with everyone around me. But Father, I choose to do it your way. I pray this will be a most blessed year as I choose your ways, Father. Father, hear the cries of our hearts. I just pray for everyone that had made this decision, Lord, that you're going to let your holy presence just fall in its fullness, Lord. Let your presence just come and fill this entire room, Lord. Let it fill our bodies, fill our lives, Father, as we come in a total heart of submission to you. And as we resist the devil, he has no choice but to flee. He has to get out of here because we are property of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, as you have your way in our lives, we're going to see nothing but blessings in our lives. We're going to see, Lord, miracles happen. We're going to see your power being displayed. As we say, Lord, we trust in you. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started in something like this? We can start off by praying a simple prayer. But this prayer must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. You must be sincere about it. It's a crying out to God saying, Lord, I tried it my way and it seems like I'm sinking. But Lord, I want to do it your way. Father, I choose you. I just heard the message and I know it's touched my heart. I'm making a decision to receive you into my life. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, don't fight it. Don't resist it. He's calling you out. He says, I want to bless your life. And if you are saying yes to Jesus this very day, well, say it with a shout. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to live for you. If that is the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand right now and say, I'm saying yes to Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my life. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right. You put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you made a decision for Christ, pray this prayer. And let's pray it all together as a family. It's telling God what we believe about Him. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. I live for a moment. I'm property of Jesus Christ. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory.